Today, this morning, the title of my message, Can the Truth Set You Free? Now, everyone in this room definitely in their hearts desire to be free. Am I right or not? We all want to be free. We want to live opposite of the bondage and slavery. No one here wants to have those. Yet at the same time, too often, we see people living within the little box of bondages without realizing it. As I was just thinking aloud, can the truth set me free? I want you to look into the text in John chapter 8, in verse 31 to 47, but I just want to take only two verses out of that, because it was an encounter between religious leaders with Jesus Christ. And listen to these words. These words are powerful. He says, if you hold to my teaching, did you hear that? You are really my disciples. What disciple is it? One who truly holds the teaching of Christ. You are really God's disciple. And then he used the word then. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, I don't want you to miss the word then, because then is the one that connects with the first part of the scripture that lead us to the second part of the scripture. Am I right or not? We all want to see truth that set us free, but not many of us really love the teaching of Christ. We need to put that into perspective today. Are you ready? Amen? Now I'm going to use some fictitious names. Four cases for us to reflect. And these are real events, but they are fictitious names. There was a young man called Tim. Tim was 16 years old. He got a summer job as a landscape helper. He saved up enough money and bought himself a ute. But with the insurance and payments and all the repairs, petrol and so forth, all his earnings went into the vehicle. And so, in the month of August, he told his parents, he says, I'm going to quit school. And the parents pleaded him and said, no, son, you should not. Please think about what you are going to do. Your whole future is at stake. The young man began to look at it and heard the parents say there will be many more opportunities if you are in school. He listened and he finally said this. This is a free country, Mom, and I have the freedom to do what I want. Question is, was he really free? Or had he become a slave to that vehicle? A young girl, Jill, at the age of 16, and was experiencing some troubles at home. She got herself involved with the internet and met up with some guys in the chat room. One day she left home and went to Toronto. And that's where she began to experience drugs that made her feel good. Somehow those guys that she chatted with were pimps. And soon she began to sell her body and became very busy at the street corners of Canada, one of the largest cities. Parents and friends pleaded for her to come back home so that they could all make a new start for her. But she shot back and said, look, this is a free country. I can do all whatever I want. Question is, was she really free, or had she become slave to the pimp and to the drugs? Another man by the name of Chuck. Chuck was a 40-year-old man, married for 17 years with three children. One day, he found a secretary in the office who seems to be very concerned about his life and understood him, somehow interested in all his ideas and jokes and activities. Started to get closer and closer. And so many of his friends came and said, Chuck, stop this, or else it may get you into a lot of trouble. And this Chuck answered, look, I am free to do what I want. Question is, was he really free, or had he become a slave to lust and been pampered? Another person by the name of Barry. Barry was a farmer, and he started to expand his quota. He started to expand his herds. He started to own more land possessions. But his contribution to the church began to dwindle. He started to forgo the charity of giving to the church and bless the kingdom of God. One day, the deacons came and visited him and encouraged him. He says, when the Lord bless you, don't forget to bless the kingdom of God. He got angry and was offended and told his visitor to take a hike. He says, look, I am free to give what I want when I want. It's my choice. Question is, was he free or was he really a slave to his possessions? I believe these case studies are very familiar to many of us. We have heard it, we have seen it. Perhaps lawyers will probably have some cases as well. But this morning I want to draw your attention. Do we actually know what real freedom is? Many a time we have traded something, yet thinking that we are free. We have traded our time for the Lord for the time to do something else. We have traded with many excuses for the things that God wants us to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. My question is the Spirit of the Lord in your home? Is there truth available for us to be set free? Today we are living in a society where we promote freedom to choose. It's my choice, they say. Truth has been attacked by own personal opinions. I look back and during the creation of Adam and Eve, and I realized that they were having a perfect time with God. The Bible says they were walking with God in the early morning. And Satan came along. And when they were told that they were not supposed to eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Satan came and said this thing. Is that really true? The question was to undermine the truth. Is that really true? Some brothers and sisters, they were living in a garden that is perfect. Yet, God says there's something you can't touch. What more about us today living here on earth, an imperfect world? And God has a lot more to say what those things you could not or should not touch. We have a lot of things, and yet the devil comes and says, is that true? Come on, be a man, have a little bit of fun. You're not a nerd. Satan began to attack God's truth. In John's Gospel that we just read, but to understand the full story, Jesus was talking to the Jews, and he told them, you are the children of lie and the children of the devil. And the Bible tells me they were very angry. They went to pick up stones, ready to throw the stones onto Jesus. Mind you, they are believers. They are not heathen. They were very impressed with Jesus Christ because he performed miracles. A lot of believers today are very impressed with Jesus, but they are not easily open for correction. Why? Very simply because they were angry and start claiming that they are children of Abraham. You see, a lot of believers claim that they are God's children, but they are not open for God to correct their lives. How can truth set you free? Are you there with me? How can truth set you free? Jesus looks at them and notices that they were really not free. They were slaves to the law. The Sabbath regulations seems to make the day a burdensome day rather than a celebration. We notice believers take Sunday as a very burdensome day. Sunday is a very difficult day to go to church. Other days, they don't mind going anywhere else. Has the truth set them free? My question is, excuses after excuses, one after another, and said, I don't think going to church is important. I don't think coming before the Lord is important. Yet they claim, I am the child of God. I go to church. I pay my tithes. Just like the Jews say, we are the children of Abraham. But are they truly free? Brothers and sisters, too often time, there are many who do not believe that their lives should be changed. You know, Jesus said this word, everyone who sins and keep on sinning is a slave to sin. If you have sinned and don't stop and you keep doing it, if you say, oh, not going to church is okay once, then the next time you say twice, next time you say three times, four times, I'll tell you what, you will be numb and completely have no sense of God's presence anymore. The Son has come to set you free. Why are we not free today? Why are we still having this burden and pain in our spirit? But today I want to help you to get out of that pain. I want to help you to see what genuine freedom is all about. Because the Bible says it's only truth that will set us free. Hallelujah. Only truth that will set you free. You know, there's a big difference between a good man who is also a poor man compared to a rich man, but he is a compulsive liar. You don't go for the outward appearance. You go for the heart. Where is the heart to honor God? Where is the heart to serve the Lord? We found Jesus speaking to the Jews in the Gospel of John and relate to these people and said, only truth can set you free. Not because you are the children of Abraham, not because you are a religious leader, not because you are a pastor, not because you are a church leader, not because you are an apostle. No, you are only free through the truth of Jesus Christ. You know, when truth comes into our hearts, it will help us to make powerful distinction. We understand what love is compared to lust. We understand what righteous anger compared to unrighteous temper. We understand kindness rather than wanting something in return. We understand what glorifying God is rather than exalting oneself. We understand what it means to enjoy the Lord rather than playing a fool with God. We understand what nurturing lives is rather than nourishing your self-interest. I'm praying today to help you to understand very important truth. Ravi Zacharias, a great philosopher, apologist, a writer, defines truth as that which affirms propositionally the nature of reality as it is. Simply means this, that truth goes beyond the physical into the spiritual and moral. Truth is not what you see from the physical part. Truth is into the spiritual and into the moral aspect of life. When there is truth, there will be transactions. I discovered truth in Jesus Christ. My entire attitude subject to this truth. My entire attitude begins to change based on this truth. Listen, brothers and sisters, when truth began to grow in my spirit, I made several transactions in my own life. Let me share with you some of these transactions. Because without Christ, I often wonder where my future lies. I often wonder where should I be. I live in despair. But when the transaction took place, I learned to rise up in courage. I learned to see what I could not achieve before. I will work on it and try to achieve them. Not by your strength, but in Christ. It was during this change and truth that took place, I began to do a transaction between discouragement towards hope. I used to get a lot of fear of uncertainties, But when Christ came to my life in the year 1981, hope began to grow. Ever since I knew the Lord in 81 till now, everything I did in my journey of my Christian walk is based on hope, not based on what I have. I don't come from a family where it's all given. I don't have a father that gives me everything. And I don't have a father that I will always look for to hope to keep to get something. I live with what I have. From discouragement, my hope is to achieve more than what I can get. Because I know my God is a provider. I did a transaction between uncertainty to surety. I did a transaction between an empty hand to blessed hands. I told the Lord my hands are empty. I did not marry a wife that is multi-million, a lot of money. Her parents don't even have much at all compared to my own parents. We don't have. We live with the little that we have. I was in Bible school and I live with 120 RM every month. 120. Some of you got thousands of dollars, complain like small kids. In Bible school for 3 years. I live with 120. My wife works with a salary as a clerk with only 400 RM. And we live with that because we have changed from an empty hand to God's blessed hands. I'm teaching you how to live in truth because it's time that the Christians today get hold of truth in order to live in true freedom. And this is the text that I want to bring you into. We want to move beyond the basic knowledge of truth. In Psalms 86, verse 10 to 11. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. And listen to this. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Somebody say it. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. And I'm going to unravel this passage for you today. I want you to grasp this important truth. Truth needs to be taught. Truth needs to be taught. And I want you to know that truth is found in God's ways. Therefore, I'm asking you today, are we or have we been taught to walk in the ways of God? I believe so. I believe we are here to walk every day in Jesus Christ. But how do you walk in Christ? You got to learn to walk in His ways. His ways has been described in the Bible. There was a story of a young man. He had a very, very bad accident. In fact, almost from the neck below right unto his feet, many parts of his body had broken bones. He did not have any funds to help him to go through the operation. He has no loved ones to be by his side. No one cared for him. Until one lady heard about the news, she came to the hospital to help him. And she paid for all the expenses, the medical expenses. And that young man went through the entire operation and he was fixed up to the point that he had to go through a year of physio and he had to exercise and learn to walk again. Finally, the day came, he was able to walk out of the hospital. But the news broke out one day that this same young man who was being sponsored to have his body fixed up committed a crime. He went to steal and he went to kill. The woman who sponsored her was very much saddened by the news. At first, when the man walked out of hospital, a lot of her friends says, well done to her. You did a great job. You have blessed this young man. But when she heard that news, she was saddened. And she told her friends and said this, I helped him to walk again, but I did not teach him how to walk. I believe today we have a lot of people being told to walk as a Christian. But many of us refuse to learn how to walk. There was a man in the Old Testament that taught me the importance of walking with God. He's none other than a person called Enoch. Enoch, in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 to 24, the Bible says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, listen to this, we probably missed out one very important word, and I'm going to read very slowly. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Verse 22 says, this is the key word, listen to this. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Did you see the mathematics? At age of 65, he had the son called Methuselah. After, that's the key word. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God. I believe there's something that he began to experience that Adam did not experience. When he became a father, he understood what it is to be a father to the children. And he understands the heartbeat of the father. After, listen to the word, after he became the father, then he walked faithfully with God. Did you notice the number of years he walked with God before he was taken off? 365. 65 years. Only then he had Methuselah. That means he walked faithfully for 300 years. After he had the children. I do not know how many, anybody here, have seen fathers after having children will walk faithfully before God. How many have seen people who understands the heartbeat of the Heavenly Father will walk faithfully unto God. You see, Enoch was very much trained when he realized the revelation of the Father's heartbeat. I believe with all my heart that we need to be trained. Truth doesn't come just like a light bulb. No, truth has to be trained. Youngsters are not interested in truth today. They are not interested in truth. And if they are not interested in truth, I know what the future will be like. I know what it will happen. When we are trained, we need to align ourselves the way we walk in His ways. God's ways cannot be told. It must be taught. One more time. God's ways cannot be told, but must be taught. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says this. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what He teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as He has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. Teaches you everything you need to know. How many of us are open to the Lord's teaching? The Apostle Paul has taught Timothy, the young Timothy, to live a life. Apart from that, Timothy was also trained by a godly mother and a godly grandmother, Eunice and Lewis. Because he was so well trained, by the way, listen carefully. His mother, Eunice, was attending the church or the synagogue, whereas the father is not a believer. He did not attend. So he was very much trained by the mother and trained by the grandmother. I pray today that we will all be trained, not just know the truth, but never be trained to walk, because it will amount to nothing. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 6 to 10, the English version says, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed have nothing to do with irreverence, silly myth. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, praise God for that, but godliness is of value in every way. It has a higher value. You can shape your body to the best shape, whatever you want to be. But if you don't have godliness, the value is nothing. And this value of godliness holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This passage tells me that we need to connect truth in our everyday life. And Paul suggested very clearly how you and I should be trained. This is how you and I should be trained. The Bible says all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I keep looking at the scripture to help direct my path, help my walk every day. And the scripture is the answer to my everyday walk. The more I learn the word, I need to connect myself with the word, in alignment with the word. Then my life will enjoy freedom. Then I can say, truly, truth has set me free. If you and I fail to be trained in this way, I'm afraid there will be a lot of doubts, confusions, and there will be a lot of mediocrity in our performances. Listen, brothers and sisters, even Hebrew himself, the author of Hebrew in chapter 5, verse 14 says, it's not in a slide, but this is what he says. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use, listen to this, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The solid food is not what you consume. It's the constant use of the solid food is going to help you and train you to distinguish. You know, brothers and sisters, if you and I who are not trained, I begin to visualize what will happen. The unfortunate situation is this. Many of you will claim and say, I can make a distinction. I can distinguish between good and evil. Yes, you can. The obvious ones. The obvious things between good and evil, I'm sure you can distinguish. But not many of you can distinguish the difference in terms of seasons. Some of you can't even distinguish that this is the purpose of God. We only can distinguish the obvious, but not something that we are not familiar with. God wants to train us to be a person who can distinguish from the evil and the good, from the seasons of life and the season that is not from God, from the purpose that God has put in and not the purpose that God has never placed in. Has truth set you free? If you have been set free, I believe with all my heart that the church today can make that distinction. How can truth set you free? The second part, and this will be the final part. It's called fear of God is the evidence of truth. Fear of God. When you live in the fear of the Lord, then truly we can see the evidence of God's truth within you. Because John chapter 8, the same passage that we read, Jesus says to them, to these Jews and religious leaders, he says, I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me. And then he went on to say this, because you have no room for God's word. You have no room for my word. Listen to the words. You're ready to kill me because you don't have a room for my word. Brothers and sisters, why is it that these people are ready to kill? Because there is no fear of God. Listen, the religious leaders were confronting and they were facing the man called Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And yet, they were ready to kill him. Why? Because there's no room inside here for the word of God. Brothers and sisters, the claim of becoming or being a Christian is insufficient, especially when there is no room for God's word. And when there is no room for God's word, you won't be able to recognize truth. Because the religious couldn't even know and recognize that Jesus is the truth. Do you know that in today's society, every article I read from US to other places, everyone says, youngsters today has replaced truth. They have taken truth away from their lives. They want to have more of their own personal fun. They prefer their own life. Why? Because we are not injecting enough words of life into them to show them that their hearts need to be open and to be a vessel to contain the truth of God's word. When you have the fear of the Lord, brothers and sisters, you have the ability to resist the enemy. You have the ability to resist the enemy's schemes. Joseph understood everything. When he has the fear of God, he even said to the brothers, "You meant it evil, but God meant it good." When you have the fear of the Lord, you will do the best and the right thing, even you are in the place that is not of God. That's what Joseph did. And do you know the midwives during the power of the Egyptians? The midwives were told to destroy all babies. The Bible says because they feared the Lord and they kept Moses. How many of you know when you have the fear of the Lord, the person that you keep has a greater future because of the fear of the Lord? Moses chose his leaders. You know what? A lot of time we choose leaders who are in high profiles. We choose leaders who has the finance, who has a lot of money. How many of you know that I don't choose leaders based on what they have? Because I learned that from Moses. You know what? Moses said that in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. And I read to you, listen to this. Moses was told by his father-in-law, praise God for a wise father-in-law, amen? And he says, "But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens." Men who fear God. That's all we are looking for. We are not looking for anybody else. We are looking for men who fear God. That's the way God chooses. Moses feared the Lord. And with that, he wrote Leviticus. And he came out with the law. And one of the law that says in Leviticus 19 verse 14, because of the fear of God, he says this: "Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord." And in the same chapter in verse 32, he says, "Stand up in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord." You see, when you have the fear of God, you learn to respect the older people. Somebody say amen. When you have the fear of the Lord, you learn to honor your parents. When you have the fear of the Lord, you learn to honor your spouses. There's no such thing as wife is second class. They are supposed to be equal and treat them as one. Am I making sense? Somebody say amen. When you fear the Lord, you are conscious of your own spiritual walk with God. Mordecai feared the Lord and he believed that God wants to set the people free. Nehemiah, he feared the Lord. And when he made the decision, he's not afraid of the opposition. He's not afraid of the enemy. Because he feared the Lord. Ruth, when she feared the Lord, she chose to fear the Lord. Because she told the mother-in-law, your God will be my God. Your people will be my... She chose to fear the Lord. And she became a great woman of God. I pray today that we will choose and make the right choice to walk in the fear of the Lord. Somebody saying, now without the fear of God, many of us will exchange truth for lies. I repeat that. Without the fear of God, many of us will exchange truth for lies. You know, our society today has rejected truth simply because they do not have the space for the Word of God anymore. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25, and I want you to see that text, but the author says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 to 12. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. You know, fear is a restraining force. Fear stops us from making poor exchanges. The world wants you to exchange God's word for the things of this world. Today, I find very hurt and pain when I see the world living in total disobedience and no submission to the kingdom of God. And I thought to myself, how can I help the church to experience freedom? How can I help the church to understand what it means to be truly set free rather than thinking that you are free when you are not? The Lord put this in my heart, wanting us to be constantly trained, not just be told about truth, but be trained with the truth. And while you are being trained, we must live in the fear of the Lord. This is a very powerful verse that will happen if you or when you walk in the fear of the Lord. And in Psalms 112, verse 1 to 4, you ready to read that? You ready to see the powerful word here? This is going to bless your heart. He said, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Wonderful, isn't it? Who delights greatly in his commandments. How many of you know that walking in the fear of God and abiding to his commandment, it goes hand in hand? His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Many of us like to read the first part, wealth and riches be in my house. But they don't like the word righteousness. Verse 4, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. These blessings will come upon the people who live in the fear of the Lord. And I want you to see something else. Not only this word that's blessed my heart, but I kept thinking, how can one live and have the fear of the Lord? How? When I step into my Christian realm, how is it that suddenly I started to have that notion and a heart of conviction that these things are not good, these things are not right? Somehow it just happened. How is it so? Then I saw this Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. It says this, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and the branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Somebody say amen. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. So then I began to realize the fear of the Lord is the evidence of truth, which means to say, when I have Christ, I have the Spirit of Christ. When I have the Spirit of Christ, I have the Spirit of His wisdom, understanding, His might, and the fear of the Lord. How can anyone do the things of the opposite when they have the Spirit of Christ? Doesn't make sense. I pray today that we will get hold of this fear of the Lord in our hearts, because that is His delight. And let us live in that truth. So what happened when you received the Spirit of Christ? When you have Jesus, you receive the Spirit of Christ. Am I right or not? Therefore, what comes out of you will be the demonstration of His Spirit. So all of a sudden, I just sense that some things, doing all these things is not right for me. Doing that thing is not right for me. Some people say, oh, come on, you are too religious. Hello. Nothing to do with religiosity. It has to do with spirituality. Those of you in a Bible study, you will understand what spiritual life means. Spiritual life means someone that is dependent on the Holy Spirit. So how many of us today would truly say, I am free? If you sense that this is not in of you or part of you, then come to Jesus. Receive His presence and let His Spirit set you free by His truth. You see, truth is a very powerful thing. I just had a picture of a, you know, those of you, when you turn the faucets and you want to fill up a cup or your Tupperware or your container, what do you do? You turn on the faucet, what do? You place the thing exactly underneath the faucet. Am I right? How many of you are so smart, turn on the faucet and put a container here? Come on. What do? In your natural realm and understanding, turn on the faucet of water and place the thing right underneath. Why? You want it to be filled up. Am I right or not? You see, God is always turning His faucets off, and the floodgates of heaven is open. But when the floodgates of heaven is open, we are standing somewhere else. We are not allowing the truth to be filled into our spirit. That's why we never seem to be set free. He wants us to stand right below the faucets of His divine grace and allow the truth of God fill you. But some of us just stand a little bit aside and just get a little bit of sprinkle from that faucet. Does that illustration make sense? Is your heart now open? Are you ready to receive that from the Lord? Let me close with this. Let me close with this. Because I felt that the Lord gave me this picture of people who think they are free, okay? This is a true story. There are two stories here, but let me work out with this one. There is a story that is held in another church, but this pastor related this story, and I want to share with you because I want to help you. So this is what happened. A young boy by the name of Carlos. Carlos came to the church one day, broke down and cried, and the pastor was interested in his situation, wanting to help him. Carlos related the story to the pastor, and this is what he says. When he was 5 years old, he broke his bicycle, and his father told him, 5 years old, he broke his bicycle, and the father told him to fix it. Carlos tried every day, but because he was so young, he did not have the strength to remove the nuts and bolts. His father would come home and ask him if he had fixed the bike and encourage him to try once again. After several nights, his father took off his belt and punished his son severely. To this very day, Carlos remembers the experience, and whenever he works with his father, he gets nervous to the point of rage. When the pastor heard that, he says, I can't imagine my emotion at that time. I was hurt for this young man. I was angry for the injustice, and I wanted to fix up his father. However, I remembered that there was a pastor by the name of David Plenigs in the United States. He said this. He says, ask God to speak into his pain with truth. Ask God to speak into his pain with truth. The pastor said, so I prayed. I prayed for this Carlos, that God will heal his pain with truth. A week to 2 weeks later, Carlos came weeping. And I patiently waited to hear what the Lord had told him because I prayed for God to reveal truth into his pain. But when I heard the story, I can imagine my personal surprise. Carlos finally said this. Pastor, he said, first, God told me that I was not 5 years old. I was actually 10 years old. He then told me that it's not the bicycle. It's actually my grandmother's wheelchair. I had broken my grandmother's wheelchair. And my father asked me to fix it. But day after day, I did not. I ignored it. I left it aside. In the end, I told my father directly and rudely that I did not do it and I will not fix it. But because of my rebellious nature, my father spanked me. But God has told me that I have been believing something that is not true. Finally, God told me the truth, that I must reveal what that truth is. Do you know that many people believe in the lie? Sometimes when I listen to some pains, I always tell somebody, and I told my staff many years ago, when you hear people complain or say something in regards to their predicament, please don't listen only once. Try and listen several more times from other people. Don't listen to one person who went through that pain, but listen to both sides and know the true stories. It's always easy to feel sympathetic over somebody's pain, but is that really true? Sometimes you may tell me half truth, they were actually half lies. Just as much as many people say the cup is half full or half empty. But you may have told me the half truth, but not the full truth. And whatever is left unattended, it is a lie. And you begin to live with that lie for the rest of your life. And no wonder we cannot be set free. Are you there with me? And I said, Lord, your people who believe in the name of Jesus, the name above all every other name, the name that has power to transform life, the name that has the power to change lives. How is it that we are not changed? How is it that we still live in the old life? Why? Because we believe in the lies. And therefore, we live with those lies and we constantly deny the truth without realizing it. Brothers and sisters, there is no better answer than the answer that comes from Jesus Christ. He is the truth. If I want to live in the fear of the Lord, I need the Spirit of Christ. When I have the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord began to manifest in my life, in your life, in your life. Then you can walk in the fear of the Lord. Then you can walk in the wisdom of God. Then you can walk with understanding. No wonder John says, if you truly hold to my teachings, you will be my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Somebody said, amen. Amen. Let's close our eyes together.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.